views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Moms, are you ready to become enlightened, empowered, and stress-free? Well, get ready because you are about to tune into vibrant, powerful moms helping everyday women create an extraordinary life with Debbie Pokornik. Each week, Debbie discusses topics to help you become self-aware, inspired, and on track to create the life you crave. It's time to stop settling and start thriving. And it all begins now on Transformation Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Mom Show. I'm your host, Debbie Pokornik, and I am so excited about today's show that I can barely contain myself, so I'm not even going to try, really. Today, my guest is Maureen St. Germain. And if you're not familiar with her, you will be soon enough, and you'll likely want to find out more. So we will share how you can do that at the end of the show. Practical mystic, Maureen St. Germain serves as a messenger for the Ascended Masters and the Angelic Realm. She practices the Merkaba and is the founder of the Akashic Records International. She teaches the Akashic Records through your own higher self, which she considers essential for your fastest, heart-centered personal evolvement to your 5D expression. Now, she's about to release her latest book, Wake Up in 5D, and today she's here to share some of the inside scoop, like why you need to know about 5D and how you can get there. Welcome to the Vibrant Powerful Moms community, Maureen. It is just such an honor to have you with us here today.
Thank you, and thank you for having me, and it's Waking Up in 5D.
Oh my gosh. All right, so everybody remember that. Every time I say it wrong, Waking Up in 5D. Now, I've actually had the honor of reading this book, so you'd think I'd get the title, right? And I just want to say that it was exactly what I was looking for, except I didn't even know that I was looking for it. And it answered so many questions. It validated how I live. It inspired me to continue to explore and be mindful. Oh, I really, really loved it. It truly is a godsend. And as I was thinking about that, I love how beautifully those words really do apply in this case. So thank you for writing the book, Maureen, and for coming here to speak with us about it.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
Oh, awesome. So keeping in mind that we really only have 25 minutes to talk about such a huge topic, the book itself was just so in-depth. There was so much. I thought maybe we could start by just you sharing a little definition or creating a little bit of a picture of what you mean when you're talking about 5D.
Well, first of all, I'd like to give everyone who's listening a little background on myself. I am the true typical person in North America. I raised a family. I was married for 25 years. I have four adult sons. I was a single parent. I worked in the corporate world. I began my spiritual studies when I was a teenager and pursued it throughout my parenting years and my corporate years. And one day I woke up and said, "All right, God, if I'm supposed to do this full time, I'm ready to let go." And at that moment, I really didn't think about what that might mean or what would happen. Mm-hmm. But within 3 weeks, I had a pink slip, a big check, and I was on my way.
Wow.
Yeah. That's how this all started back in 1990. Well, 94 is when I started teaching publicly. Before that, I was teaching in small study groups.
Right.
And I think it was 2000, maybe 1998, when I made that, you know, little prayer at my altar. And I will say to all of you, if you don't have any place special that you go to pray, you might consider creating that, even if it's in your bedroom because you live in a studio apartment. I actually lived in a studio apartment in New York City for 3 years. When I first moved there, because that's the largest space I could manage. And that was the exact same rent that I had paid in Wisconsin when I had a house with, you know, 1,500 square feet. So that was my trade-off. But I was happy to be there because I knew many of my people were there. I had many clients. And I took the leap to do what I wanted to do and to live where I wanted to live, which was in the city.
So those are two beautiful examples of taking that leap of faith, right? I mean, even saying, okay, God, if I'm supposed to do this full time, then, you know, help me to make this happen.
Right.
I love it.
Now, I will tell each of you, I've written a book on manifestation, the details that transition and how to use manifestation tools based on sacred geometry and science. So it's not, you know, just wishful thinking or anything like that. It's based on solid, quantifiable data. And what I will say to you is one thing you can do anytime you make the leap and then you're terrified, because that is a typical reaction, mm-hmm. to then pretend that you are in the future and you're saying to someone else who would be important to you at the time, well, there were some scary moments, but it wasn't that hard. This way you're not resisting your present and you're also creating your future. It wasn't that hard. And you're telling someone that's part of your future. And I literally used a visual of the video game that my kids were playing at the time. And it was called Mario Brothers. And the kids, you know, that Mario guy would jump off this cliff or walk off the cliff, almost like, you know, like he wasn't paying attention. And then there would be some land that would come up and he would walk on that for a while. And then he'd be on the other side of the chasm. Right. And I thought, that's it. That's what my visual has to be. And there were times that was my only visual. So when you're thinking about, I can't think of something, go to Mario Brothers. Everybody has it, right?
Yes, that's funny. And I can picture it perfectly, the mushroom coming or whatever.
And, you know, one time when I said one of my boys, when I told him what I had done, and he was, you know, older at the time, he said with great, what's the word? Almost like judgment, Mom, that's only if you're good. I thought, well, that's all I knew. This is the way you guys play it.
It's true.
So the book, Waking Up in 5D, came to me, first of all, it came to me in a dream, the title. And that's when I realized that we were all waking up in 5D some of the time. And that every one of us could take the few times that we were in 5D and transform it into all the time. And that's what the book's about. It's first of all, teaching people that it's not just one single moment. Now, I do believe that there could be a defining moment where enough people in the world become 5D that everything shifts almost like a teeter-totter. Mm-hmm. But in the meantime, each of us in our own personal worlds are going into 5D regularly, whether we know it or not.
Right. That piece was huge for me because I really wasn't sure, okay, so where is this 5D and how do I get there? And when I get there, what happens to all my loved ones if they're not ready to come there? And I found that very confusing. And I loved, as I read that in the book, I thought, oh my gosh, I'm going there now. I'm, you know, coming back and forth, but this is not a totally new thing to me.
Uh-huh. So, it's a big one. And then this thing about loved one is very important because we all care about our families. Mm-hmm. At the same time, though, our choosing to be 5D proactively makes it easier for our family and our friends to be 5D. So if we're really worried about all of our peeps coming with us, then the thing to do is to do the work so that you're vibrating 5D so frequently that they can shift more easily into it.
Yes. You know, that is so beautiful. When I'm teaching about parenting, I'm always saying to the parents, focus on you and what you can do, because as you start to change and pay more attention and, you know, use different language and all those things, your family will come with you. So it's really the same idea. Love it. Love it.
And, you know, one of the things, I mean, you know, raising four sons by myself, I have got this parenting thing down and I have so many cool things that I did that helped my sons take ownership in their life and to take leadership in their life. Mm-hmm. And I'm happy to share any of those with you. What comes to mind in this exact moment is a time when my college-age youngest son was stuck at Heathrow Airport with a bunch of his other choir member friends. They were trying to get back from a concert tour that they were doing on their spring break. It was cold and rainy and snowy, and Heathrow had been closed down. Their flight was canceled. They went back to a hotel, had dinner, came back the next morning, and now they have to wait to see what they can get on. And these right. girls are moaning about, gosh, you know, it's awful here. I'll never get home. You know, some of these girls had never been away from home ever before. And they're, you know, understandably anxious. And my son went up to them and said, you know, I don't know about you guys, but I intend to get home today.
Mm.
And he told me later that he was just trying to encourage them to think positively. He hadn't really thought about it. He was just reacting to their actions.
Yes.
But what happened is the choir director kept going back to the airline, and finally an airline employee said, you know, if you would let us split your group, we could get some of them home today.
Right.
So you know who got home and who didn't.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. So staying in 5D, first of all, it's the best way to describe what it's like to be 5D is to think of a time when you have fallen in love or when you actually got something that you had been pining for. Maybe it's a new car. Maybe it's that great job. Maybe it's the beautiful garden that you planted, but something that puts you in this beautiful, blissful state of happiness that no one can touch. You know, somebody says something obnoxious or sour or whatever, you know, oh, they must be having a bad day. Oh, somebody must have been mean to them. You don't even mind that
right.
they're unhappy and trying to bring you down because you don't notice.
Right. It just washes off you.
Exactly. It washes yeah. off you. Yeah. And another thing that people don't realize is we have been trained, particularly in the West, to think in a linear way. You know, put a jacket on, it's cold outside, or you'll catch a cold.
Mm-hmm.
Do this and that will happen. You know, if you go faster on the freeway, you'll get there sooner. So there's a direct linear mathematical equation. And what I now understand about 5D is there is an equation, but it's not linear.
Right.
It's multilinear or perhaps multidimensional or multi, what's the word I want? In science, they actually use the word nonlinear, which I think is hilarious because it's like saying if something isn't linear, fitting our mold, then it must be nonlinear.
Right.
And in fact, it's dynamic or active. And dynamic is where there is an action that occurs that has a quality built into it that the feedback starts to drive the change rather than the action that's driving the change. And an example is a small rolling snowball rolling down a hill can cause an avalanche.
Right.
And it isn't the snowball that's starting it, but the feedback of all the snow that gets picked up and rolled with it. And if you think about the word feedback, we understand the word feedback when we talk about a conversation. Well, give me feedback about how that felt. But feedback in a scientific term is data that's going in that leaves the system looking as if nothing has changed, even though it is. And it is the pileup of feedback that causes a sudden dramatic shift. Another example is when we go to the gym and we start to work out, work with a trainer. And then the first week the trainer calls us and says, how's it going? And you say, terrible. I feel like crap. I've put on weight. Everything is sore and I'm tired all the time.
Right.
And, I don't think I should do this because, you know, it's not helping at all. And of course the trainer's going to laugh and say, well, you got to be at it for a couple more weeks and then you're going to see some big changes because all the initial feedback, gaining weight is a, you know, subject of more muscle. Feeling terrible is the muscles that haven't been working. Tired is, of course, getting into the oxygen and the exercise. And so all of that initially doesn't look like it's going to be serving you. And it isn't until you get the bigger picture of the investment. And part of what happens with 5D is the same. Each of us has to make an investment in a proactive decision to be different. so that those around us can also be different. Because right. It will happen eventually. But if we choose to be proactive, then we can simplify the process. And what I know as a mystic is that we are literally creating the reality as we go. So in other words, in the old days, we could say, well, you know, this is predicted or that is predicted. But we are in an energetic frequency that the record keepers have called a free fall, free for all. And what I think of when I hear that is that we're all skydiving and we're playing around at a very high altitude. Some of us are moving towards other people. Some of us are just doing somersaults. We can do whatever we want until it's time to pull the chute. And so this free for all means that we can take the long way or the short way. We can choose where we land by how we adjust our strings and all of it. But it isn't possible if we don't know, because we're swimming in the dark then, or we're flying in the dark, and we don't know how close right. the land is.
I could see a person in the fetal position in fear.
Right.
What the whole time.
Heck is going
yeah,
on?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. That's well said.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's, I can see that for sure. So let's just take a moment here though, because I'm sure that curious minds or inquiring minds want to know. We're talking about the fact that we're in 3D, we're able to get to 5D, the two of them were going back and forth, but what happened to four?
Fourth dimension is a portal or a nexus. So I like to have people think of an airport or Grand Central Station. If you've ever been in New York, it's this big pile of chaos. It is where our emotions are broadcast from. And it is a place of high emotion. And that means that when you're in a very, very depressed state, you could have a very high emotional experience, because the emotion is high enough that it allows you to move into that fourth dimensional space. And suddenly fifth dimension, or that, you know, that breakthrough, that bliss point, is much more available because the emotion has pushed us through our concrete 3D version of the reality. Mm. So fourth dimension is the portal, or is the place we travel through to get to 5D. And you never would go to the airport to spend the night. You might get stuck there, but you wouldn't do it on purpose.
Right. But could it be said then that quite a few people are getting stuck in 4D?
Well, like whenever you see someone having a meltdown, whenever you see someone, you know, who's like super high with joy and out of control, or super low with sadness and grief, yeah, they're most certainly in that place of high emotion, but they haven't quite resolved it. It's because what happens is even the joy that you take to get into 5D, it creates in you a place of balance, centeredness, and connection. And that sense of connection is so powerful that who you are becomes unshakable. There's no question about who you are, because you're so connected to God. Your identity is a fait accompli. It's already a known, and it's so strong in your own consciousness that it's not questionable. It's like, you know, when you meet a family of people and you look at the whole family, the mom and the dad and their kids, and you think to yourself, they all carry the same physical trait. So even if you met one of the kids without the parents, you would look at that kid and go, I know what family he belongs to. Mm-hmm. And so there's a quality in 5D that is unshakable. You know you belong to God, and God belongs to you. So that sense is so strong that nothing really gets to you the way it used to. Mm-hmm. And it's not like you don't care, but you don't care in a way that causes you to be fearful. You don't drop into that fear response. And by the way, there's a lot of fear that is being broadcast towards us to cause us to move into more fear. And, you know, it's very interesting to me. I'm always intrigued by the people who are attracted to fearful movies, you know, the horror movies and things like that. I don't quite get that myself.
Right. Me neither.
But I think it's the adrenaline rush of knowing that it's not real and that you get scared, but then you can walk away from it.
I guess.
I don't know. But what I do know is that when it does feel real, it causes you to create an energy that can be consumed by beings that you don't want them to do that. So I tease people and say, don't feed any alligators, you know, let that stuff go.
Yes. That's very interesting to think about, because I've never enjoyed scary movies or even movies that have people acting a role that is just a little too close to human but not human. And then I have them revisit me in my dreams, which is why I don't like it. It's like, I don't need that in my life.
You know, and I will tell you, I have the same problem. And that stuff like circulates in my aura for anywhere from 2 weeks to 3 weeks. And one of the ways a person can antidote that, let's say, you know, you're at someone's house or even your own house and the news comes on and it's something, you know, that you just would find horrible, you can quickly cover your chakras. And the way you do that is you take your hand, mm-hmm. palm down at the top of your head, but, you know, a few inches above your head. And then you just drop your hand in front of your face, down the front of your body, all the way past the groin, and that what that does is it closes the chakras. And imagine, like, if you were closing someone's eyes, you would lightly be touching their eyelids and gently closing, and that's all you're doing. And your chakras will reopen. There's no problem there.
Right.
But the idea is, if you close your chakras when you are confronted right away, then it won't visit you in your dreams, and that energy won't circulate in your field.
Love it. I actually read that in your book, and while I was watching a show just that very evening, it wasn't a scary show, but the young girl was very upset and she was screaming at her brother, and it bothered me. The energy was bothering me. So I right away thought of that from the book, and I closed my chakras down, and I thought, this is beautiful, because then I was able to just watch it objectively, which is what I can usually do. But for whatever reason, maybe it was just the resonance, you know, something about it really was touching me. And so I loved it. I used it and it worked beautifully.
Fantastic. I'm really happy that it worked. Yeah, of course it works.
Well, I know, but it's still so wonderful to have these simple little tricks. You talk about creating the, I might be saying this wrong, Faraday?
Yes, cage? The Faraday cage. Yes.
Over your bed. And that too, I thought, well, that's really a great thing. And I'm going to keep that in mind. And I have tried to do it once or twice, but I seem to forget all the time.
I made a little poster for myself and put it on my nightstand. So it's like, you know, from a magazine, a ad for bedding. And then next to it, I have what I'm supposed to say. And so that's a reminder. As I open my bed, I look at that. I go, oh, I have to say that prayer, because it is easy to forget. I agree.
Yes. Well, absolutely. And, you know, I come into the room, it's already dark. My husband goes to bed before I do. But I usually think if I forget to do something, I don't need to do it. And sure enough, those nights I haven't had, you know, big problems with nightmares or anything. Now, we are out of time. How this happens, I don't know. I could talk to you for another hour, two, three, I'm sure. We didn't even get into anything about karma or guardians or dragons or serendipities or anything, or even stretching time. That was one of the things. So there is so much in your book. And so what I want to say to the listeners is, you really want to get this book. If you're intrigued at all, it's Waking Up in 5D. Maureen St. Germain is the author, and you don't want to miss it, because it really answers so many questions and provides so much for all of us.
And it is available to buy now. And you can go to my website. I always have wonderful freebies, and the book also comes with some amazing, wonderful full-length meditations and other pieces that you will be able to download once you get the book.
Awesome. So the links for that will be on my blog that accompanies this podcast, and also on Transformation Talk Radio on my profile page. So You can pick those up. And, oh, Maureen, thank you so much. Thank you so much for your time. There's so much that I want to say, and yet I know we are right out of time. So I just would like to thank you and thank our listeners, because I really hope they love this episode as much as I did. There's so much more that we could share with them. And so with much respect for you and the journey you are on, this is Debbie Pokornik and her incredible guest, Maureen St. Germain, wishing you a vibrant and powerful day.
You've been listening to Vibrant Powerful Moms with host Debbie Pokornik. If you've enjoyed this show, please give us a shout out and leave us a positive review. To find out more about Debbie and her sisterhood of Vibrant Powerful Moms, visit empoweringenergy.com. That's empowering with letters NRG.com.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a moment for standing in your power. It's quite possible when you're listening to a show like mine that you might be wondering, how can you tell me that I'm perfect and provide me information on personal development all at the same time? It raises a really great question and one that I really would love to address. Often when people think that something is perfect, they think that changing it would be wrong. This way of thinking can trap them into seeing life as stagnant rather than the dynamic process that it actually is. So let me clarify what I mean by perfect. A newborn child is perfect from the moment she is born. There might be things about her that you would like her to grow out of, like maybe her sleeping habits or making strange to her father. However, you recognize that these aren't deficiencies, they're just preferences, areas that you'd like her to grow in. As a child grows, she remains perfect. Her silly moments, her tantrums, even her ability to push your buttons might not make her fun to be around at times, but these traits are a piece of who she is. They do not make her any less perfect. At the same time, as you recognize this, you also acknowledge that unless something's getting in the way of the child's development, she's going to grow physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. In other words, this child is expected to grow and to change, but she isn't any less perfect now. This assumption simply suggests that growing and the change that comes with it is what life's all about. So when I suggest that there is work you could do to really reach your full potential, to open yourself up to be the vibrant, powerful woman that you are meant to be, I want you to know that you're starting from a place of already being perfect. You are not broken. You're not missing anything. There aren't pieces that need to be fixed. This is simply part of how we grow. And when you follow your own intuition, your own desire to learn things, and are led to personal development programs, that just shows that you're tuned in to what you really need to evolve as a human. So continue on being the perfect person that you already are, and do it with freedom to grow in whatever direction you want to grow.